I just have a simple message this morning, and I want to talk some about Christmas, because if you're like I am, I love Christmas. I love all the things that distract us from the real meaning of Christmas, and that's a real problem, because I love all those things. I love shopping, and I love the excitement of people shopping, and, well, excuse me, yeah, let me rephrase that. I love the excitement of people shopping. But I love buying Christmas gifts. I actually do, as much as I don't like shopping. There's something about Christmas time that's neat to go out and buy for someone. But the truth is, I love the time of the year. I love the excitement that Christmas generates in people's lives. And it's across the board. It's the Christian and the non-Christian alike. There's an excitement that happens in this time of the year, whether it's family get-togethers, whether it's the gifts that we give each other at Christmas, whatever it is, I love this time of year. I really do. If it would be up to me, our Christmas vacation would be a week instead of a day. Because I like just spending time together, and I like this time of the year. But the truth is, as there's almost, I don't know that there's a Christmas that goes by in my life that, on the flip side of that, there's also some pain involved in it. Because Christmas time has a way of bringing back to memory for me the last time we were together as a family before my sister died. And every year I think about that. And I'm reminded of the fact that Starla's dad is no longer with us. And I've talked to people in the last couple of weeks that aren't looking forward to Christmas this year. Because while Christmas for some of us can be an incredibly exciting time and we can get into it, Christmas also has a way of bringing pain into our lives. And there are people this year that aren't looking forward to Christmas. And we call that a blue Christmas. And there are a number of churches in the area that have a service geared toward people that are struggling through the Christmas time because either of the loss of a loved one or shattered, broken relationships in family. And when they get together as a family, all the brokenness comes out. And there's a lot of pain as well that happens when families get together over Christmas time. So what is Christmas all about? That's the question. What is the story of Christmas? And sometimes it's easy for us, Derek talked about it and we've heard it before, but it's easy for us to get caught up in the excitement of Christmas. It's easy for me. I have to intentionally stop and think about what Christmas is all about, or I can just get caught up into the good stuff of Christmas. But sometimes I do get concerned about the commercialization of Christmas and the fact that we can lose the message in the middle of it. And sometimes I can get caught up into the fact that as a country, right now, I can get concerned about the fact that we can't put a manger scene wherever we want to anymore without fear of a lawsuit and offending someone and a lawsuit coming against us. And as we look at all the things that are happening, I've heard it, I don't know how many times on the news in the last little while, of lawsuits that are coming because someone put a manger scene up somewhere, and actually now it's down to even Christmas lights certain places. There's a lawsuit that came in about that, and things are just getting bizarre. And sometimes I can get caught up into that, and I can lament the fact that those things are being taken away from us, and that can even keep me from really focusing on the true meaning of Christmas. Because is Christmas really about a manger scene somewhere? I mean, it is. There was a manger scene that happened. It's the foundation of the Christmas story, but it's not about that. It's really not. Is Christmas just about the parties and the family get-togethers? About the gifts and the hustle and bustle? Is it just about the baby in the manger and the wise men? It's more than that, because the message of Christmas is, if you were listening to the message of the songs that we sang, the Christmas story is the most life-changing story, I believe, that has ever happened in the history of the world. Now, it didn't stop there. We have a tendency to stop it right there, but the story goes on from there, and it actually came out in the message of the songs that we sang. It started in the manger. It started with the Christmas story, but it went on. But the Christmas story is the most incredible story that there ever has been in the history of the world, and its impact on our lives today are astounding. And I want to look just a little bit. I want to read a couple verses in Luke 2, 11 and 12, and we are so familiar with these kind of things, we pass it over. Actually, it was easy for me to pass over the message of the songs this morning, because I'm familiar, well, some of those this morning I wasn't very familiar with, but we're so familiar with the Christmas songs that we can pass over what they actually are saying and meaning. We do that too with the Christmas story. I've heard this lots of times through the years. Luke 2, 11 and 12, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Let that sink in just a moment for you. "There is born for you this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." That should also sink into our lives. And I want to talk about that as well. Sometimes we just look at the events that happened around the Christmas story as something that has just happened. That's just how it worked out. Mary was pregnant and had to go to Bethlehem, and she ended up in a stable to give birth. We look at those kind of things and we say, well, that's just the events, and we lose the significance of that. So what is the message of Christmas? If I could boil it down, what I want to talk about this morning, it would be this. The message of the nativity and the Christmas story is this: there's something for everyone. There's something for everyone. What happened that day, we're caught up into a society where that's a huge issue right now, that there is something for everyone in our culture. We have no child left behind policy, where every person that goes to school comes out with a good grade. You know, that was the essence of the No Child Left Behind policy. And it's, we want better education, that's true. But a part of that was that they didn't want any child left behind or any child failing. And we're also aware of Social Security that started around 1940s in there. And that was a big deal. And one of the things with that is we don't want anyone poor in our country. There's no one that's left out on anything. And our country has been, that's how people get elected today, to be able to promise something for everyone. And no one can deliver on that except Jesus Christ. God has been the only one that has been able to introduce something for everyone. And it happened at the Christmas story. And He has done it perfectly, because the truth is, there is something for everyone. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 53. I want to read some of the verses out of Isaiah 53. I'm going to read the first number of verses and then come back to it, actually. Verse 53, it's almost like Isaiah was transported into the time that the Christmas story actually happened, and he's writing from that perspective in the first couple of verses, where he said, "Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And really what he's unpacking there is as the Christmas story unfolded, not many people actually believed the story that was happening at that time. And he's saying, who's believing this stuff? Who's believing all the prophecies that have happened through the years, and now they're unfolding and people aren't believing it? People aren't believing the report that a Savior has come into the world. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him, as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And I want to just stop right there, because the first point I want to make of people, that of the whole thing, that there is something for everyone, is there's something for those who life has passed by. And I want you to catch that, because it's pretty significant. There's something for those who life has passed by. The reason Jesus wasn't born in any other place but a manger, and the reason it says there's no form or comeliness that we should desire him or behold him, was so that he could identify with those who life had passed by. He came to identify with us that life has passed by. And there was nothing about the story, even the story of Jesus being born, that had anything, if you looked on it, besides the angels coming and announcing his birth. And I'm talking about that time. But there was nothing desirable to even look at that story and say, wow, there's something there. Because who would want to be born in a manger, in a stable, and be laid in a manger? And we have a way of commercializing that in our culture today, and we've made it look very good. There's this barn, and Jesus is laying in clean hay, and the cows are behaving very well, and everybody's just looking and gazing at this new baby. Even the animals are gazing at the new baby, and the barn's clean, and everything's in it, and there's snow on the ground. Anything to make it, nasty and those kind of things. And we've created this picture that makes it look like this awesome, beautiful thing. I don't believe that it was even true. That's even true. In fact, I'm pretty confident it's not. The truth is, the stable was probably just a cave in the side of the hill. Dark, damp, smelly. There probably wasn't snow on the ground. There's a good chance it was warm. There would have been flies buzzing around, bugs of other sorts. There wasn't anything attractive about that. Who would want to be born? You know, in our culture today, we don't even put our animals in that kind of stuff anymore, most of the time, because we want something better for them. But that's where Jesus was born. There was nothing exciting about what happened that night, except the fact that Jesus was born and the angels proclaimed it. And there were a lot of good things that happened around that. But if we just look on the scene, there's nothing attractive about it. There was nothing attractive about his life from there on out. He wasn't a king. He wasn't even a good general in an army to deliver the people out of the hands of the Romans. There's nothing, as we look at Jesus from a human standpoint, that's attractive. And yet it was designed that way. That's designed by God to be that way. There's no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. What kind of sorrows and grief is he familiar with? He's familiar with rejection. He's familiar with loneliness. He's familiar with not having a good reputation. He's familiar with being poor. Absolutely nothing. No place to lay his head. Basically, all that he had was the clothes on his back. He's familiar with being beaten. He's familiar with being spat upon. He's familiar with life passing you by. And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about life as we know it, the good life or the American dream. Whatever we want to put in there, he's familiar with that. And yet he comes back in verse 4. I'm sorry. He's familiar with that, and he's also carried that for us. He moves in. In fact, I believe when we are broken in our lives, when life has passed us by, that's when God moves in close to us. Whatever we're experiencing, whatever we're facing, whatever we're going through, that's when God moves in close, because he knows what it's like. He knows what it's like when life has passed us by. So there's something for us there. There's also for something for those who are experiencing difficulty and stress. And I love verse 4. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs." And griefs is really talking about the injustices and calamities that happen in our life. He's carried our sorrows. Sorrows is talking about deep distress and anguish. How many of you have experienced that in your life? There's a few people that are honest this morning, and if you haven't, you will, okay? Because that's how life is. We carry around a lot of griefs and sorrows in our life, and he came to this earth to carry those for us. That's why I love those verses. He carries our griefs and our sorrows with us, with him. He carries them for us. Let me put it in those terms. That's what the Christmas story is all about. That's why we come into the Christmas season with so much excitement. It's not about the gifts. It's not about all the fun that we have. It's about a fact that a baby was born who carries the griefs and sorrows of our life. And that's why he came. That's why he came as a baby. In the shatteredness and the brokenness of my life, he came for that. He came for me when I was at my wit's end. I had no place to turn because of the sorrow and the grief that I'm carrying in my life. He came for me then. There's something for those burdened down by the weight of sin. Verses 5 and 6 says this, "But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And as we look at the story of Jesus Christ that started at the manger in Bethlehem that we're celebrating this time of the year, he came knowing that he would die on the cross, and his death on the cross, in that he would carry our iniquities on the one hand, our griefs and sorrows on the other hand. And that's a powerful message for us today as we go into the Christmas season. He took the penalty for our sins. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." We know that well. "That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And so there is something for everyone as we go into the Christmas season this year. It's not about our get-togethers. It really isn't. And I hope all of us have really fun get-togethers. I hope we don't lose the tradition because we're all wrapped up. But let's pause and think about the fact that as we're going into the Christmas season this year, wherever we're at, it might be the fear of the future of where we're at as a country. It may be the fact that we're carrying sorrow in our heart. It may be the fact that we're weighed down by the weight of sin. And maybe we're at a place where we feel like life has passed us by. Everyone else is moving on, and we're stuck in this place in our life that we don't know where to move on from. We don't know how to move forward in life because life has sort of passed us by. Wherever we're at in our life, there's something for us that I believe God wants to do in our hearts this Christmas season. It's not just about celebrating family get-togethers, but He wants to do something in our hearts this morning. He wants us to look at the Christmas season and come away from this time of the year with hope. No matter what we're facing, it may be sickness, it can be a host of things. And that's where, even though Christmas can be a blue Christmas for us, because of what we're facing and going through in our lives, that's true, and we can't minimize that. But even if that's true in our lives, Christmas time offers us an incredible amount of hope, because there's something for everyone. That is true. That is the most powerful message that we can proclaim this Christmas time to the people that we meet. There is something for everyone. There is hope for every person. Maybe you're a Christian, because it's easy for me to forget the fact that there are other things involved in the Christmas story. I look at the fact that I'm a Christian and, wow, I can celebrate this. No, but what about the other things that are going on in my life? What about my sorrows? What about my griefs? As I go into this Christmas season, there is something for every one of us to get a hold of. Maybe in a new way, maybe in a fresh way, that He wants to pour into our life. One other point, and this isn't coming out of Isaiah 53, but it's coming out of the Christmas story, is this. Wise men respond to the meaning of Christmas. I'm fascinated with the story of the wise men. They traveled, I don't know how many miles, and responded to the Christmas, what happened, that Jesus was born. They saw the star, followed Him, could be 2 years after He was born. We don't know exactly. But think about this. These guys drive into Jerusalem, which is about 6 miles from Bethlehem, roughly, and they say, hey, where's this king that was born? And so the religious leaders, they get together and have their little powwow and come up with the fact that, oh yeah, it's prophesied that He would be born in Bethlehem. So the wise men go and check it out. But this is the thing that astounds me with that whole story. There's not one religious person that we have record of, or even Jewish person, other than the people that the angel appeared to, that even had enough curiosity to go check it out. Now that's astounding to me. If we had a couple Rolls Royces roll up in Lancaster City here and say, where's this great thing that happened in the area here? And we would discover and find out that it was supposed to happen in, we're 6 miles from Lancaster City, Ephrata, let me put it in those terms. And I don't have enough curiosity in my heart to even go check it out or even pursue it. That's pretty astounding to me, because it was an incredible thing that happened, that wise men, and I'm sure it wasn't just a silent thing that happened. They came in with camels, they came in pursuing it, got Herod all worked up, and he went out and destroyed Herod. Actually had more belief in it and curiosity in it than the religious leaders of the day and the Jewish people. And Herod was a heathen person. But what about us today? Wise men, who, wherever we find ourselves in the story, wherever we find ourselves in what I just talked about earlier, wise men are the people that are still curious about what's happening in this Christmas story for me today. Because when we ask that question, we become curious enough to say, God, what did it mean that You came from heaven to this earth? What does that mean for me? Like, it's not just about me brushing that past over and say, oh yeah, well, He died for me. It's easy for me to do that. It's easy to, oh, I know that story. He came, He died on the cross. No, it goes much deeper than that. That's That's just brushing it off when we do that. He came, but why did he come? Why did he come 2,000 years ago for what's going on in my life right now today? Why did he come? What can he offer me as I go into this Christmas story? What can he offer me that applies to my life today in December of 2012? Because it's not about it just happening for that whole story back there. It's about today. It is about today. And wise men are curious enough about that to say, Lord, what's going on in my life? What happened at the Christmas story as we go into it that affects where I'm at today? Maybe I have just totally, I'm totally washed up in my walk with the Lord. That's what Christmas is all about. Maybe I am carrying weight that I need to be able to unload and get rid of. That's what the Christmas story is all about. This Christmas story is really the message that there's someone for everyone. Every person sitting in this room here today, the Christmas story is for us. Not just back then, for right now. For right now, in whatever we're facing, whatever we're going through today. So I hope this, and let me say this, now that's worth celebrating. And if we get together as families celebrating that fact, our Christmas is going to take on a new meaning. Because that's worth getting excited about. And that's the message of Christmas. It really is. That He came for me. Now there's a whole story wrapped around that, and it's a simple message. But as we go into this Christmas season, I hope that we don't lose sight of that. As we get together with families, and I hope we all have a great time. But let's not lose sight of the fact that He came and that there's something for everyone. There's something for me in this Christmas story. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this time of the year that we can celebrate Christmas. And Lord, we've, as a country, have commercialized that, and we've brought Santa Claus in and reindeer and all kinds of other things that it's actually fun to think about and sing about and all those kind of things. But Lord, that can distract us from the true meaning of Christmas, the true meaning of the birth of Christ. And Lord, I thank You and praise You with all my heart today that the Christmas story has something in it for me. And it's beyond salvation. It's the fact that You can identify with me wherever I'm at in my life's journey today. I may be broken, I may be shattered. We may be shattered here as people. We may have things together like the wise men. We may be wealthy. We may be leaders in our community. And yet You have something for each person. No matter where we are in life, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, You have something for us. And Lord, I pray that You would impress that on our hearts and our lives this year in a greater way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.